Welcome into Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective. I'm Dave Richmond, and with us right now, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Barber. How are you, man?
What's going on, Dave? How are things? Are you good?
I'm good personally. Obviously hurt for our program. We'll be talking about that. Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, dude?
Not much. I'm going to watch some football here in a little bit, but to be honest, today's result this afternoon against Memphis was not all that surprising. I was shocked when I saw the line was only Memphis by 7. I would have, if I was a betting man, I would never bet against the Pirates. But if I was somebody that was a betting man, I would have put a lot of money on them covering that 7 points, and it obviously wasn't anywhere close.
Hey Kyle, we'll call him Pete Rose.
Well, I mean, he didn't bet, but I wonder, you know, you're down to 8 scholarship players. You're missing that many kids. Your kid coach is out. I guess you got to get back to playing. But, man, I wonder why we played today. Holy crap.
Yeah, that was a 80-53. You felt like the Memphis was obviously the better team, but I think Vegas had it right. I thought it was going to be about a 10-point, 12-point victory for the Tigers. But, man. First time, as you see on the screen, for those listening, ECU.
Dave, I can assure you, Vegas did not have it right.
No, I know they didn't have it right as far as the outcome today because they didn't. I'm saying if we were at full strength.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If we were at full strength, yeah, I think 7 points, 7 to 10 points was certainly fair. But
I think that you're right. They didn't know.
Yeah.
You're right. They didn't
know.
It's
hard right now for Vegas. God, I mean, I wouldn't bet right now. There's no way I'd bet college sports right now. There's just too many unknowns.
Yeah, exactly. we're playing for the first time in 15 days and just the third time in 33 days. And like you just referenced, we're playing without 4 scholarship players, J.J. Miles, Miles James, Charles Coleman, and also Pig Jackson. And, then you had guys like Brandon Suggs and as well as others who had even missed some of the practice time that other players had had, whether it's because of contact tracing and other things, such as injuries. So, yeah, tough situation, tough opponent for the Pirates to come out of that 15-day break against a team that has so much athleticism. You saw Memphis, they played 10 guys. I think the most points that anybody from Memphis had was about 15, but everybody that played with the exception of one scored at least 5, and they outscored us, as you see there on the bottom of the screen for our viewers, 37-5 in bench points.
That's crazy.
And they really brought a lot of pressure early, and I thought that was smart by Penny Hardaway. And we're shorthanded, and then also we haven't played much basketball and haven't had a chance to practice. And you saw that pressure create a 10-second call where we were unable to get the ball across half court and cause some other issues as well.
Yeah, definitely our poise was not there. And, again, we'll talk to – obviously we'll have the comments of – filling in for Coach Dooley, and that's Coach Rock, Steve Rockerfort. And, you know, they're a great thing about him and Dooley, they're stand-up guys. But the very fact that the guys haven't played and there's practice, missing practices and stops and starts, and that's just absolutely crazy. I mean, it's hurt the game itself, the college basketball game as a whole. I think the level of play Memphis is looking very, very good. But as a whole, college basketball, I think, is down and suffering from this whole epidemic, the pandemic that we've got going on with COVID-19. So definitely thought the Pirates would lose today, but this is not the typical thing that we've seen this year for the Pirates as far as a big blowout. And, hey, Bubba, how about that? You had that stat up on the screen. Man, the first of all, that comes to mind, the three-point shooting comes to mind. There they had 11 threes. I mean, for the second straight game, they started hitting in the last game. And Bubba, I know that you had watched that Wichita State game. You told me about how good Memphis looked, and boy, did they were just everything they put up was seemed like everything they were putting up was going in. And you said, they were rattled with the pressure.
Yeah, you hear the post game remarks of Steve Rockaport, associate head coach, here in just a minute. But Coach Rock, he talked about how Memphis on the whole this year, even after their performance on tonight, shooting 11 out of 25, 44% from three, they're still just a 33% three-point shooting team on the season. So, and that's after knocking down 11 in each of the last two games. And I think they're shooting, I want to say, right at 50% from three over the last two games against Wichita State and East Carolina. But prior to that, they had not hit more than nine, and they had only hit more than, I think, six or seven only two or three occasions. So understandable why Coach Rock and staff thought that we'd be able to play some zone, but they certainly shot us out of it.
A zone buster being the three-pointer. Another thing that, Bubba, comes to mind is the – how about the number of assists? What was it, like 19 assists for the game off of 27, I think? Was that right?
Yeah. Take a look there. And you see Memphis, they had 20 assists on 29 field goals. And then you had East Carolina with just 13 assists on only 19 made field goals for the Pirates. Just 4 out of 22 from three-point range. And even when we look at some of the individual numbers here in a minute, yes, we had four guys in double figures, but this guy should have scored in double figures with the number of shots they took. All of them, with the exception of Tremont Robinson-White, shooting very poor percentages. And even Tremont, he was 40%, 6 out of 15. He led us with 15 points. We really got hammered on the glass, 45 to 35. And a lot of those 16 turnovers, I think I want to say maybe 10 of them came in the first half when Memphis built that 49-18 halftime lead. And I'm taking a look at the individual numbers very quickly. Like I mentioned, the Pirates had four guys in double figures. Tremont Robinson-White with 15. Brandon Suggs was just 3 out of 10 from the floor and had 11 points. Jaden Gardner, I want to say, was 4 out of 12. 10 points and 11 rebounds, second consecutive double-double, but once again, not shooting a good percentage. And then Tristan Newton, 10 points and 5 rebounds. Tristan was playing for the first time in quite a while, as he had been sidelined, prior to this affecting the team so badly the last 2 weeks. But Tristan was just 3 out of 14 from the floor. So hopefully we're able to knock some of the rust off tonight, and we'll be able to go down to UCF, who's also struggling. The Knights have dropped 5 straight, and be able to get a much-needed win on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it seems like it was last year, and I don't mean in terms of 2020. I mean 12 months ago that we were 7-1 and flying high. Holy crap. This has been a completely different world since Christmas.
It really is, and man, just a brand new year. You start January, and now you've what? That's Bubba. That's 3 straight. So we're 3 straight, right? So,
yeah.
It's been that's rough. 3 straight games, especially
and then now. And then all the games that weren't played. 3 straight we've lost, and then we've missed what 3 games?
Yeah. So not the kind of pattern you want if you're a coach. You're creatures of habit. Speaking of which, Bubba, I know that Coach Rock, he spoke to the press, the media after the game, and do you want to go to the post-game comments?
Yeah, associate head coach Steve Rockaport met with the media, and we have that audio for you, and let's go to hear from Coach Rock right now.
I thought at the very first of the game, I thought we had a really good start, and I think there was a stretch after that good start. We didn't respond very well to their pressure. We also tried some zone. We thought we could mix some zone in. They hit a couple of threes, and we just didn't respond very well during that period of time. I thought in the second half, we knew we couldn't get it all back. We wanted to keep our guys playing as hard as possible. We broke it into 4-minute segments. I think we won 4 out of the 5 segments. We're just trying to stay together. Keep everybody healthy, and get Joe Dooley back.
Coach, I know you guys don't want to make excuses, but what can you just say about the circumstances surrounding this game? You guys have barely been able to practice, and all the guys out.
It's highly unusual. I think players and coaches are extreme creatures of habit, and you're used to getting into a routine and doing things a certain way, and the starting and the stopping is abnormal. And it's abnormal for the players. I think it's abnormal for the coaches. And then I think when you add on that our leader and our head coach is not here, then it makes it even more abnormal. We won't make any excuses for anything because there's other people going through the same things that we're going through. But it's not easy.
Rocky managed to get four guys in double figures, got going a little bit late in the ball game. Tremont Robinson White had another good outing. Talk about his progression.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the end of that.
Tremont had another good ball game tonight. Talk about his progress as we move forward. He seems to be getting better and better.
Yeah, I think that, you know, going back to last year, I think the type of injury that he had was a really hard injury. And especially for players that are, they need their speed and quickness, and you have an ankle injury like that. And I think it took him a little while to get strong enough and to get confident enough in his ankle to really be able to play. So I don't think last year, I think he had a couple of really good games, one maybe at Temple, you know, to where he kind of showed that side of himself. And I just think he's probably more confident in the system and more confident in his surroundings and more confident with his ankle right now. And he's playing a lot better, being more aggressive.
Is there a way, Coach, to maybe break down the challenges or the changes for your role for a day like today? And did you communicate with Coach Dooley post-game, pre-game, anything like that? Or did you kind of just do your own thing and stay away from him?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, we game planned together. I mean, from the time that he knew that he was out, I mean, it's basically the schedule is you get COVID tested. The staff Zooms with Coach. We go over what we're going to do. Coach Zooms with the players before we go to practice. When practice is over, staff Zooms with Coach Dooley again, and that's kind of been our routine. And for today, it was much of the same. I mean, it's, you know, when we're talking about what we're doing, he's involved, you know, every step of the way. It's just different because he's not here, you know. And again, like I said, you know, each of us have a role to play, and when somebody's missing like that, then everybody has to try to adjust. And it's, you know, I'm sure it's probably strange for the players. I think it is for me. You know, I, like I said, I've been coaching for so long. You know, I'm probably as old school can get. And, you know, I have some definitive opinions about a head coaching position. You know, I'm very respectful of that position. It's very hard to be a head coach at this level. I've been a head coach, and I know how hard it is, and I have so much respect for that position. The only thing I'm trying to do is do exactly what Joe needs me to do, and that's it. You know, and I wanted us to play better. I wanted a better outcome. You know, I wanted a better outcome for the players. I wanted a better outcome for Coach. So I'm really, really disappointed that I couldn't do a better job.
Steve, on Friday, Joe said that he'd like to throw this pandemic in the trash. If you had the power, what would you do to this pandemic?
I think that when we were at the conference tournament, I mean, so you start thinking, and again, coaches are different animals too. But when you've coached for such a long period of time and nothing's ever stopped the game, nothing's ever stopped the NCAA tournament, nothing's ever stopped the Final Four during that period of time. You know, I think that when they told us that, hey, you're not going to play and we're going home from Fort Worth, you know, in my mind, I was thinking this is going to – at first, and I'm being honest and it's not good, I didn't even know what they were talking about. You know, I didn't keep up with that. I mean, we were in the coaching, do what you do coaching-wise. I mean, I'd heard a little here and a little there, but I wasn't up to date on it. I didn't know what type of problems were going on like that. And when we stopped, I thought, hey, this will last for like 2 weeks and then we'll go back to normal. And now we're almost a year later and everything is, you know, so different that I don't even know what to say about it. It's not good. I mean, it's not good for anybody, you know. It's not good for individual people. It's not good for coaches. It's not good for players. It's not good for anybody in the world.
Coach, do you know for sure if Coach Dooley is going to be there Wednesday or not, how that stands?
I don't know that for sure, but I'm under the impression that he will be.
You look at this game today, I mean, Memphis obviously has size and athleticism. That's kind of always been their thing. But like you said, when they can hit outside shots, I mean, that just kind of seemed to take this thing to another level. I mean, how difficult did that kind of make, especially in the first half?
Well, it made it difficult because we really, really thought that we could play a lot of zone, to be honest with you. You know, we thought maybe we could play 65% zone, 35% man, and we thought it would be very effective. They have struggled to shoot the ball. They shot it better the last game. They've also had problems with turnovers. And, you know, I think that, like you said, whenever as long and as athletic and as hard as they play, as well as they defend, if they don't turn the ball over and they shoot it really well, they're hard to beat.
Anything else for Coach Rock? All right, thanks, Coach. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, there's the comments from a great guy there, Coach Rockefort, from this afternoon's game. And, of course, up next is Wednesday nights, as the Pirates are going to be taking on the UCF Knights, and that'll be Wednesday at 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus. And want to welcome back to the show a good friend of ours who from the Nightline Sports Line. There he is, network, and that would be Jeff Allen. How are you, Jeff?
I'm great. How are you guys doing this evening?
Good. I know that. Thank you so much for coming back on with us. Wanted to have you on. Bubba had a great idea to have you on tonight. Because there's really not much more we can talk about with a loss like we had with only 8 scholarship players. So why not go ahead and preview the next game on Wednesday, right, Bubba?
Yeah, we were just saying not a whole lot you can say about tonight. We just got our butts kicked, and we were shorthanded and facing a very talented Memphis team that's playing well, better than they've played all season. So I'm going to go ahead and take a look ahead to the UCF game Wednesday night on ESPN Plus down in Orlando, 7 o'clock tip off. And this is a UCF team, Jeff, you know, got off to a 3-1 start and had some very nice wins against Auburn, at Florida State by double figures. Also went over Cincinnati. And I know the Bearcats have struggled, but, you know, still not a bad ball club by any means. So what's happened here recently? Have the Knights been battling COVID issues themselves?
They have had to encounter that with some postponements and cancellations. They had about a 2-week stretch early in the month where they were inactive, affected their practice time and things like that. So it really did kind of hit a bump in the road for them. And the team is really found a hard time gelling. They go in long spurts. You know, defense is their calling card first and foremost. You know that about a Johnny Dawkins team. But they have long stretches where they go 6, 7, 8 minutes without a basket. And that just doesn't get it done, especially in this conference.
Yeah, tonight against Memphis, Jeff, we scored 10 points in the first 5 minutes of the game. And then in the last 15 minutes of the first half, we only scored 8.
it's hard to get things done that way.
No question, especially with the field goal percentage and the 3-point shooting. It was just tough. And I think that's one of the things like Rockefort was talking about, the coach, right before you came on, Jeff, is the very thing. They're creatures of habit. So you've got all these stoppages and they're starting, they're stopping. And just like you were talking about, you hardly have practice time. And then all of a sudden you're thrown into, you know, it's one thing if you, I think Dooley alluded this last week, it's one thing if you have guys injured, so you make a game plan if he comes back or if he does not come back, or the same thing if you're doing a scouting report for, say, UCF. What if this player is playing? What if they're not playing and they're still injured and on the sidelines? But this is a situation that's way beyond that. It's the trickiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, now you're at the point now where, you know, the spreadsheet's getting bigger with postponements and cancellations. They're going to have to figure out how to get these games in as the time starts to compress heading towards March, which, you know, you almost might see an NBA-like schedule for some of these teams. And then you throw that factor in there. And, yeah, as you said, it ends up being like a pickup situation. We just saw that with Houston and Temple this weekend. So, it's like, okay, well, you don't have a game. Hey, let's go. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how things play out over the next few weeks.
You make a very good point with the very fact of the travel, where they always try to have, you know, the travel plans of having, like, for East Carolina playing, they would have, like, in New Orleans when they play Tulane, and they have, like, SMU, like, they have that. And, you know, Wichita State have, like a road trip, so to speak. Now it's, like, almost like zigzagging across the United States to play games because you're just trying to find games in the conference right now, right?
Yeah, and UCF, you know, certainly is going to have a unique situation come up because they had a postponement with Memphis. They're going to have to play back-to-back in Memphis. So they don't even get the home game. So they got to play twice up there, and our record at FedEx is not good. I think we've won once.
Yeah. We're in the same situation with Wichita State. We're going to have to play two up in Wichita.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, absolutely crazy. You know, and then as you look at the Knights coming into this game against East Carolina, I mean, this is a team that's desperate for a win. You know, they have a 5-game losing streak after that victory over Cincinnati. They've lost to Houston twice, which is certainly, you know, who isn't losing to Houston? They're just toying with the rest of the conference at this stage. But we were better in the first matchup than we were in the second one, where we just pretty much were out of that game, like, you know, in the first 2 minutes. Lost to SMU this past Saturday. They were in that game for a little bit. They got a little bit of a lift from Darius Perry, who had missed the last couple of games, which I think this will help. Because he's really the only true point guard, if you will, on the team. So they have struggled without his presence the last couple of ball games. And they have scoring, and Brandon Mahan is a terrific scorer, but he hasn't been the leading scorer since the first Houston game. Trey Fuller gives him some good minutes. They're definitely trying to find their footing, with 5 losses already in conference, getting into one of those top 2 slots. We know the first slot's already taken. So there's really only 1 slot left. It would be, a few things had to happen for this to be a 3-bid league, I think, for the tournament. 5 losses is hard to make up from that point. 1 more and they're definitely done.
Jeff, you guys, change subjects a little bit. You guys, recently lost your athletic director to Tennessee. John Gilbert, RAD, was a candidate. His name came up because of his ties to Tennessee. But the Vols decided to hire White from UCF. Obviously, he's done a tremendous job at UCF. What names are you hearing to replace him?
I am not hearing any really names at this point. UCF is really good at keeping these things close to the vest. And that's kind of something Danny White started here. And Danny White losing him is a huge blow to UCF athletics. I mean, you look at what he has done with his, every coaching hire he has made has been just about gold. Yeah. Women's basketball, men's basketball with Johnny Dawkins, with both Josh Heupel and Scott Frost. And just not only from that aspect, he knows how to build a program, fundraise, all that good stuff. And he's a marketing genius. The 2 words he said after the Peach Bowl, national champions, we still get run off of that 3 years later. So thinking about replacing this guy who, God bless them, because they're going to have some mighty big shoes to fill.
Yeah, no doubt. When I saw Tennessee made that hire, I thought, man, great hire. And I'm really kind of surprised you guys have hung on to him this long. I'm surprised an SEC school hasn't come calling before now.
Yeah, and other schools have come calling, but I don't think it was ever about the money with him. He's a guy who likes to fix things. You look what he did at Buffalo before he came here, and now Tennessee is poised, you know, they finally have somebody making good decisions there in their athletic department. So that's going to be a big step in the right direction for them.
Buffalo's kept things going. You guys going to keep that trend going, hire their AD again?
That might not be a bad idea. Maybe their coach, too.
Yeah.
One day down the road.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jeff, as far as Buffalo's concerned. When White was there, obviously that Bobby Hurley hire, and then he's gone on to Arizona State.
Yeah, so absolutely. So, yeah, he knows how to find these guys, and he's not set on, you know, I have to get a name. I have to get, you know, a guy with, you know, that has nothing but Power 5 experience. He knows what he wants, and so he just has a magic touch. Whatever it is, it's, you know, if he could bottle that and we could address that with the pandemic, we'd be out of it already.
No question. In fact, if you've ever been to Knoxville, it's a great town, great college town. And I'm going to tell you something. They've got a great fan base. But that going all the way back last time around with Fulmer and was it Greg Schiano? I mean, yeah. They had a great coach. Kyle and Bubba and I agree on that. They had a great coach lined up. And then all of a sudden the fan base was like, no, we're not going to have him. It was just a huge disaster. I mean, not only from a PR standpoint, but obviously look how they still don't have the expectations we understand are to win. But I just don't think they've had the right fit. And now it's really interesting to see with Danny White, to see if he can, who he can get. That's the ultimate question at Tennessee.
Yeah. And he doesn't have as many things to fix at Tennessee overall in the athletic department as he did with UCF. But, you know, the football program obviously is the big driver there. And I can tell you, I lived in Knoxville for 2 years when Peyton Manning was there.
Wow.
And so I can tell you, I know all about what their fervor is. And you know, and they have not been relevant in the SEC for quite some time in the football program. And obviously that is going to be a big deal when they start winning again.
Yeah, I wonder who will hire. I wonder, you know, obviously certain names come up, like you know, oh, will he bring Heupel with him, or will he look at another American coach like homeboy up in Cincinnati? Obviously, he knows him very well from coaching against him. You know, it'll be interesting who he hires. It's like you said, he's good at getting the right fit, or at least he has been in the past. So I'm anxious to see who he hires at Tennessee.
Yeah, it will be. Trust me, whoever he hires will be the right guy. That's just the way it is with him. That's for sure.
Hey, Jeff, as far as the basketball game, home slice Luke Fickell. Yeah, that's it for Cincinnati. As far as the basketball game is concerned on Wednesday night, what are you looking for as far as the Knights? I know that a lot of teams, as Coach Rock was talking about, no excuses. Everybody's had the same issues of COVID-19, and other teams have had COVID. You had to postpone games, and you had to move and shuffle around games. But what comes to mind for this team? I know you said they had a hard time gelling, obviously, for this very reason, for the not normal circumstances, this pandemic. But what's some of the traits, things that Pirate fans or fans of college basketball in general on Wednesday night will see?
You know, we kind of echo those statements. You know, Johnny Dawkins is pretty much the same mindset. You know, he's not an excuse maker, and he's, you know, he says everybody's getting dealt these hands, and we've got to just have to deal with them as they come and do the best we can. You know, what UCF obviously brings to the table is they like to play lockdown defense, and they will like to push you into long possessions, making you take your shot very late in the shot clock to where you're not getting a good shot, and trying to, you know, manufacture some offense with some steals and getting their fast break game going that way. They're not typically a fast break team on offense, but they like to use it off of their defense. And they have a lot of quick guys. And so, you know, they're very good at rotating and you know, getting around, you know, when the ball's getting thrown around the horn. You know, I think obviously with some of the challenges of being able to practice, they've kind of been a little off schedule on that. But yeah, definitely with UCF, their calling card has always going to be their defense, and that's what they want to play and be they're best at first and foremost. And, you know, as I said, you know, I think, you know, getting Perry back will be a big boost for them. You know, they were going to, you know, manage his minutes coming back this last game against SMU, but he was playing so well, and so they stuck with him quite a bit, so they didn't have to limit his playing time. And again, I think, you know, just having him back will be a big plus for them, and it'll be, you know, obviously you got two teams that are desperate to win, so I expect this to be a very hard fought game that you know, will come down to the last couple of minutes.
No question about it when you're looking at these two teams. And Jeff, have you heard anything as far as we know? With the NCAA, they're definitely going to have the tournament in Indianapolis with the games kind of like a bubble. Have you heard anything? One of the things we've been wanting to know, will they have an NIT this year? Have you heard anything on that?
I have not heard anything on that, and I would be very surprised if the NIT is played, because I think they're really going to, you know, since the NCAA runs that as well. You know, they're obviously, they cannot afford to have March Madness have any hiccups. You know, losing it last year was certainly, you know, a big blow. I mean, not just from, I mean, you look at the money that event generates over the 3 weeks. They really desperately need March Madness. You know, they won't get it from, you know, it's all about the corporate sponsorships and things like that, but they definitely need March Madness to happen. So I would be very shocked if the NIT was played this year, just based on the fact that they've got to keep all hands on deck and keep everything running right with March Madness.
That's certainly the way that we're leaning on that. And Kyle, I know that you had brought that up, that you doubted they played the NIT.
I would, you know, who knows really. But at this point, they got to get, like he said, they got to get the NCAA tournament in for financial purposes. So kind of like he said, all hands on deck. You know, if they do the NIT, maybe they do like an 8-team NIT all up in New York, something like that. I could see them do something like that, but a full 32-team field, probably not.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
So as far as the teams, who do you like around the American? I know that's something part of with the AAC report. Memphis looking really good. Houston and the team that we liked, obviously I know Memphis blew them out, but I think Wichita State has been playing better.
Yeah, look at, you know, the job that Ike Brown's doing there, you know, with the Greg Marshall situation that blew up. You figured that had a potential to be a very disastrous situation coming into the season. Yeah, but they returned some good players, you know, Dexter Dennis and Etienne. They had some guys coming back that were going to be able to, you know, if they had leadership, were going to be able to kind of stem that tide a little bit. And, you know, they have played pretty well. And obviously, you know, Tulsa certainly is in the mix. And, you know, they've given Houston their only loss. And you know, they've been a tough nut for Memphis to crack as well. So, yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, those three teams. SMU, possibly. I mean, you know, I have to give them credit. You know, their head coach was not here in Orlando for the game, and they were able to come away with a victory. And so, great credit to his staff and his players for getting through that game without their head coach. So, yeah, I definitely, you know, you obviously Houston's the gold standard, and you know, they could be a Final Four team. You know, they are scary good, and you can just marvel at the job that Kelvin Sampson has done with that program.
No question about it. It's going to be crazy to see how this plays out. We're going to be talking Tuesday to Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, and of course the Big Ten Network, and we'll find out more about college basketball. I've said all along, Jeff, this is a year that I think a Cinderella team is going to win it. I don't think the Blue Bloods are going to be there this year, but stranger things have happened. Who knows what's going to happen? But in other words, this might be the perfect storm for Houston. Definitely think they're a Final Four caliber team with a great coach, and now, like you said, and we'll move right along. And as far as tell everybody what you got coming up this week on the Nightline Sports Network on the AAC report.
Yes, on the AAC report, we're going to check in on South Florida this week on both their men's and women's basketball team. Their women's basketball team ranked 14th in the nation right now, and they're having a really good season. So they'll be our spotlight team this week. And, you know, the Nightline Sports Network, we run the AAC report, drops every Thursday morning for your listening pleasure. And also invite you to join me on my my personal podcast, Jeff Allen Sports Talk. It's a general sports talk show, but we do talk a lot of college sports on there as well. And as always, guys, I always enjoy being on your show and always enjoy having you on mine as well.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff, as always. And we know one team, Tampa Bay, is going to be in there down closer to you. First time ever that a home team hosting the Super Bowl. And, of course, it would have to be Tom Brady, wouldn't it, to do that feat. So we'll have you back on again soon. Thanks very much, dude. And definitely we'll be listening. Thanks for all that you do for us. And I look forward to hearing the show again soon.
No problem, guys. Thanks very much. You guys have a great night.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate very much Jeff coming on there. Short notice, guys, but we wanted to have him on to preview Wednesday night. And, Kyle, I tell you what, we're talking about the college basketball world. Hopefully, folks, you'll go ahead and get vaccinated. I want Pirate Nation to be there. Ryan Robinson said last week on Pirate Radio that they're planning on 100%. It is possible, but I think it's going to be more like 25 to 50%. But,
I don't 100% for what? Football?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's what they're hoping for. I'm still of the belief that we're gonna have a situation where it's gonna be show your vaccination card. Maybe yep. I'm wrong on that, but we'll see. I'll tell you an interesting note, non-related to ECU football. And I'm curious to know how it's being done. Just seen an announcement that there's going to be a Jody Messina concert in New Bern in March. And I'm curious how they're doing that. It's going to be outside, I'm assuming. Tickets are very expensive for Jody Messina, so I'm assuming it's a very limited crowd. Tickets are $65 and $85. That's going to be for Jody.
Yeah. So I like her a lot.
Man. I do too, but not quite that much. I just thought that was interesting, and I'd like to ask some questions. I may try to reach out to who's putting on the event and ask them how they're doing that. What's the seating capacity going to be like, et cetera? Because I'd love to know. But it is going to be outside.
Yeah. How about I found out yesterday? I wanted to reach out to you today, and obviously I was working. Found out yesterday. You probably already know this, Kyle. Live Nation. If you want to see a concert. Whenever they have concerts again, the only way that you get in the concert is to show your shot record. So
I heard that. I know Live Nation on several venues like Walnut Creek.
Yep.
Do they own Red Hat? I don't know if they own Red Hat or not.
That's the city of Raleigh. That should be the city of Raleigh. That's the city of Raleigh. They do help them, I think, out with the promoting the events, but the city owns the amphitheater.
So that'll be interesting to see how many other places do that. But anyway, kind of strange, and we'll see. The vaccines get more and more widespread. I know right now at the convention center in Greenville, what is that for anybody 65 or older can go get one?
Yeah. So basically, it's the 65 and older, and so you obviously had the first stage was 75 and older, 65 and older now. And I'll go ahead and give the website for people. It's www.bidenhealth.com/vaccinate. That's the only way that you're going to be able to do it because they're not taking phone calls for appointments. They're getting so many phone calls, there's no way they can answer. So if you want that, the goal is to do 1,000 people a day at the convention center. Again, that's www.bidenhealth.com/vaccinate, and has all the information and about COVID-19 and obviously how to sign up. And
Dave, do you know when the next phase is starting, when educators, et cetera, can get vaccinated?
I haven't heard that next phase, but I know that they're even talking about one of the doctors. I saw Dr. David Agus did a great interview last week with Howard Stern. They're talking about the springtime for students, like teenagers.
Well, you know, April, somebody had told me, you know, that they were going to go ahead and open it up for teachers.
They need to go ahead and open it up. Well, actually, they're doing it locally at the health departments. So maybe check the health department. I have not heard, in fairness, about the major distribution center, the pod, if you will, for when it comes to vaccinations at Vidant for Greenville. But 1,000 a day is really cool. And the only reason I mention that is because I really want another thing I want to mention real fast before we move on. Sorry, Bubba, is I want to make sure to make a point that they're not no surprise. They're not putting out information on season tickets yet for football because of who knows what's going to happen and how many. So the one way that we can get more people butts in the stands and sell season tickets is more people having the shot. So please get your shot as soon as you can. And that would be fantastic. The sooner we get it, the quicker we get out of all this mess and whatever the normal will be after the fact. So
also help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Thank you, Bubba. I appreciate the humor there for sure. Bubba, I know that very excited about our sponsor, PGX Glove, pgxgloves.com. Went on the website. Folks, I mean, it is fantastic. Yesterday, I had a chance to really look at the website, and I want to give a shout-out to Kaz. We'll try to get him on very soon. Mark Minakazi, pgxgloves.com. I ordered 3 shirts. In fact, one of them that I ordered was a Jungle Tales shirt. They have the 23 Jungle Tales shirts, for us, right, Bubba?
Yeah, 23 Jungle Tales shirt. It has that logo that you see on the screen there. In addition to the PGX Gloves logo that you see on the screen, except instead of those colors, it's purple and gold. And Kaz did a nice job with that. You can get it on a black shirt, purple shirt, or a gray shirt. And you also have our logo, the Sports Objectives logo, on that as well. And then we're working on some other things. So stay tuned. The Pirate Collection on pgxgloves.com is ever growing, and as you see scrolling across the bottom of the screen, use the promo code ECU. It must be all caps. So promo code ECU in all caps to get 25% off your order at checkout, and that includes all items.
I know folks are already taking advantage of that 25% off. Thank you so much again. Bubba, by the way, I got a chance to see those custom baseball gloves. We have that on the screen. Those custom baseball gloves are off the chain. They are just so cool. We were talking about all the customized stuff that they do.
Yeah. Really. And we got a lot of golfers out there too, guys. Don't forget any of you fellows or ladies out there to play golf. They got golf clubs too. So take advantage of the promo code ECU, save 25%, and get yourself some golf clubs.
All right. And we'll have Bubba, I know, speaking of 23 Jungle Tales, we'll have more coming up in the next week or two.
Yeah, we will. And we'll catch up with former East Carolina baseball players from a variety of eras. And then on Tuesday night, and we'll catch up with the play-by-play voice of East Carolina baseball, Corey Glore, and talk. And, you know, the schedule came out here in the last couple of weeks. And so we'll talk about that. And the Pirates playing 32 conference games this year as opposed to 24 in a 4-game series and no midweek games after conference play begins. So a lot of changes, and the Pirates travel partner this year, and with UConn having departed, East Carolina will be paired with Cincinnati. So East Carolina and the Bearcats will be getting very familiar with one another on the diamond, playing 8 times in the 2021 season.
Should be really interesting. And as far as we have a lot of cool things, and one more thing, Bubba, to promote, and that would be what we have. But last year was a huge success. You worked really hard on last year and again this year. And that's our preview for the North Carolina Division I baseball teams for college. And very excited about that. It's going to be another great season of that coming up, starting, I would assume, and we'll have that in February.
Yeah, excellent programs. And like you mentioned, the season starting as of right now, February 19th. So here we are just a little over 3 weeks out or so. But we'll hear from all 18 Division I head coaches. And hopefully last year we heard from, I think it was 15 out of the 18. And two of the ones that were not on board last year have already jumped on this year. So hopefully everybody will take part, and some excellent coaches across the state and guys who have been at their programs an awfully long time, like Elliott Avent, Coach Pollard's been at Duke a while now, Coach Walter at Wake Forest, and then you have some guys like Robert Woodard entering his first full season, we hope, at Charlotte after having been there last year. Also, Coach Chesser at Gardner-Webb, and really look forward to talking to these guys and hear what they have in store in 2021.
And also, guys, I know we don't have it on the docket yet, to my knowledge. Bubba, throw some message here. Need to see if we can get a FCS football preview of some kind, as that season, as they kick off February 19th also for your second college football season, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we can definitely make that happen. And a lot of great teams, certainly with CAA and alike and around the nation, that teams playing, and that'll be a lot of fun. All right, guys, do you have anything before we go?
Got nothing.
All right, we saw Tampa Bay. We're recording this on Sunday night and doing it live. They're already in. We'll see. Now the next game is already started underway, so we'll see the AFC Championship, who wins between Kansas City and obviously the Buffalo Bills. We'll see who wins that game. Until next time, you've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. And back to the Pirate Basketball Overtime on The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.